Take your Bibles this morning. Let's go to prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9, if you will. Open your Bible to Isaiah chapter 9. Our theme for the year is that the world may know him. The Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of God, said in Philippians chapter 3, in verse 10, he said, that I may know him. Boy, what a challenge for us to know him. But we have the privilege today, and we serve a God that we can know. We can know him. He's not an unknown entity. He is not someone who resides far, far away. But he's one that walks with us and talks with us each day if we'll let him do that. And I so just want to preach to you again about knowing him, and specifically knowing him in one particular way. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And it seems that most of the time, when this passage is read and preached from or talked about, it's around the Christmas season. This verse does talk about the coming birth of the Messiah. But I just want to ask you a real simple question this morning. Do you know the Prince of Peace? Do you know the Prince of Peace? We're emphasizing the fact the world needs to know him, but I'm interested that every individual here might know him. Now, if you're going to know the Lord, if you're going to really know him, you have to understand our Lord's not one-dimensional. So if you're going to know him, you're going to have to know him more than just that one dimension, all right? You say, well, I know him as my Savior. Man, I'm glad you do. Glory to God. If you don't, I want you to get saved today. I want you to trust him as your Savior. I'm glad, all right? Maybe you say, well, I know him. Preacher, you preached last week about knowing him as a shepherd. Good. I'm again glad that you know him that way. But the question today is not, do you know him as a Savior? Do you know him as a shepherd? But do you know him as the Prince of Peace? Now, we're just going to take the scripture this morning. If you know him, and if you know the Prince of Peace, then there's something you know. Take your Bible to the New Testament, the book of Romans, Romans chapter 5, would you? Romans chapter 5. If you know the Prince of Peace, then I'm going to say something. That means you have peace with God. You have peace with God. You cannot know the Prince of Peace without having peace with God. Notice Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that peace that we have, if we're justified by faith, let me just say this to you, it's the only way you can be justified. You cannot be justified any other way than by faith. There's no other way. You cannot be justified by works. You cannot be justified by what you do, and the good deeds that you can pile up will not justify you before God, all right? The only way to do that is by faith. By faith. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. Through faith. It's faith that does that justification. But wait a minute, if that's true, then you have peace with God. The Bible said that peace comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. So what do you mean there, preacher? That means he brings it. He provides it. It is through him because he paid for it. He paid for it. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 plainly says, While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Hey, we were without strength. We were without hope. We were without help. We were without God in our sin. Nothing I could do to earn that salvation. I couldn't pay for it. You couldn't pay for it. So God, in His infinite love and mercy for man, sent His Son to die on the cross, to shed His blood, to pay that sin debt, so we could have peace with God. You say, preacher, what does that have to do with peace with God? Well, there's no peace with God if you've not been born again. No peace with God. I should have had you hold on to your place there in Isaiah. Go back to the book of Isaiah. I was just going to read this verse, quote this verse to you, but I want you to look at it. Isaiah chapter 59. I don't want you to think, I bet he made that up, all right? No, it's in the Bible, all right? It's in the Bible. Look in Isaiah chapter 59. Look at Isaiah chapter 59. Look at verse 2. Notice what the Bible says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. He will not hear. Why? Because our sin separates us from God. Let me take you back all the way to the book of Genesis. All the way to the book of Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve are in the garden. Man, they have got, you talk about a life, they had the life. Man, everything they needed was provided for them. Everything they needed. There was no discomfort in that land. It never got too hot, and it never was too cold. Adam or Eve, either one, never said, boy, I wish it was a little cooler today. I believe the temperature was perfect, perfect. They never worried about anything. God provided everything they needed. But there was one tree that He said, you don't eat of the fruit of that tree. Now, every other tree in the garden, you just enjoy yourself. Just enjoy yourself. Man, I believe all the pecans were paper shell in those days. You could shell them by hand, all right? Wonderful, it was good. But there was one tree, He said, now don't you eat of that fruit, because the day you do, you will die. And here come the serpent. Here come the devil. And he got a hold of Eve, and he began to talk to her, and he began to influence her, and he said, man, you take a look at that. He said, that's really good-looking stuff. The Bible said she looked. She said, looks good to me. And she partook of it. And us men, like said, doggone it, if you women hadn't have done that, we'd still be in the Garden of Eden. That's not true. Not true at all. Because the Bible said it wasn't her sin. It was Adam's sin. Adam's sin. She ate of it. She gave it to Adam and he ate. And exactly what happened, and what happened is what God said would happen. In the day they ate of it, they died. Died. Said, no, preacher, they lived 600 plus years. Nope, they died. Not physically. But boy, the soul and the spirit died. Bam. And sin separated. They had enjoyed fellowship with God. They had walked with God in the garden every day. The Bible said in the evening, He had come by and walk with them. You said, preacher, that was just a manner of speaking. No, He was there. Yes, sir. Amen. And they walked with Him and they talked with Him. But after that, they were put out of the garden. He no longer came to walk and talk with them. Why? Sin. Sin. Sin separated them. They no longer had peace with God. That's the reason you and I can't have peace with God, because of our sin. But the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood that he shed made peace with God possible. Take your Bible, Ephesians chapter 2. I want you to see what the Bible says, okay? Ephesians chapter 2. There's a lot of people in this old world today that have us get rid of this book. We're not going to do it. Boy, it's the only way that we know to go and tells us the truth. But look, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 2. Now, I'm going to read a long passage, and I hope you'll follow along. Look in verse 12, Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 12. Notice what the Bible says, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. Look at here, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Here it is, for he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, oh, here it is, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Hey, he came. How? It was the Lord Jesus Christ that did it. It was him that we're made nigh by the blood of Christ. He is our peace, the Bible says. We have peace with God. Why? Because it took a perfect sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ to pay our sin debt. He purchased our pardon for our sin. He purchased it. We're given it. It was given to us, all right? That pardon brought the imputed righteousness of Christ, which gives us peace with God today. Peace. Now, I use some words, imputed righteousness. Now, the only way you and I can have righteousness is for it to be imputed. He said, what do you mean? It means his righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, was put on us. Amen. Put on us. Because without it, we have no righteousness. The Bible says over in Isaiah, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But it's the righteousness of Jesus Christ put upon us, and now you and I can have peace with God. God no longer sees us as a sinner. Oh my, hallelujah, what a wonderful thing that is. No longer sees us as a sinner. Now your wife still sees you as one. Your husband still sees you as one. Your parents still see you as one, but not God. Not God. He sees the righteousness of his Son. So we have peace. We have peace with God. Peace with God. Hey, listen to me. If you know the Prince of Peace, really know him, then you have peace with God. You've been born again. Now, if you're sitting here saying, I know that peace, but you've never been born again, you don't have peace with God. You don't. But wait a minute. That's not all. If you know the Prince of Peace, go to Philippians chapter 4, would you? If you know the Prince of Peace, then you have got hold not only peace with God, but you've got hold of peace of God. The peace of God. Philippians chapter 4, look if you will, verse 7. What a verse. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hey, that peace, the peace of God, passes all understanding. You sort of don't understand it. That's right. There's no human understanding. We can't understand the peace of God that he gives, but we can have that peace. We can have that peace. It's possible. You say, man, I don't know. I'm not sure. All right, let's go back to John chapter 14, would you? John chapter 14. I want to preach to you what the Bible says, all right? John chapter 14, the disciples had gathered together, and the Lord was there in their midst. And I want you to notice what he told them. In John chapter 14, look there in verse 17. Look what he told them. The Bible says, even the Spirit, all right, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you. All right? Then you drop down to verse 27. And he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why? Because I'm giving you the peace of God. Giving you the peace of God. Hey, our Lord told his disciples that one important thing he was leaving them was his peace. His peace. You know, in this old world, we hope some rich uncle will die and leave us a heap of money. But we've got something better as a child of God. If you're born again, you have accessible to you the peace of God. The peace of God. He said, well, what does that mean? Well, wait a minute. Did you see the last part of that verse? And he said, I'm giving it unto you. Then he says this, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What kind of peace was his? I'll tell you, here's the kind of peace it was. His peace is the kind that falls asleep in the midst of the storm. Falls asleep in the midst of the storm. Storm was raging on the Sea of Galilee. The ship they were in was taken on water. The disciples were fretting and worried and cried out, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He's asleep. Why? Peace. Peace, that's the kind of peace. In the midst of a storm, and you're going to have some storms in life. If you got the peace of God, you can get through them. His peace is the kind that can take all the false accusations, all the unfair treatment that was sprayed upon him without snapping back or replying in kind. Why? He had peace. He had peace. His peace is the kind that can ignore the hate, the bitterness, the sarcastic laughter, and then turn around and ask God to forgive those that did it. Peace. That's peace, all right? When the world was going crazy around him, he was at peace. He was at peace. That's the peace of God. Hey, brother, let me tell you something. His peace will allow you to carry on. His peace will allow you to carry on. It's his peace that will keep you from losing hope. From losing hope. It's his peace that allow you to not be turned aside in your Christian life. Well, I faced a little opposition. These people made fun of me, and I'm done. No, if you've got his peace, that doesn't, you don't sweat it. You just go on. Well, I don't know what they're going to do. That's right. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why? I'm giving you my peace. That's what God said. He said, I'm going to give you that peace of God. I'll give it to you. I want to say this to you. If you know the Prince of Peace, you've got that peace. You really know him. Now, you might not always be accepted. You're not always going to be accepted everywhere in this world. Can I suggest, don't sweat it. You're not going to be encouraged by everybody in this world. Don't let it get you down. Truth of the matter is, there's going to be some who won't even want to tolerate you. But you hear it, his peace can carry you through that. His peace can get you through that. Through the storms that come along. Boy, I've got peace with God. Man, I want the peace of God too. Don't you? His peace. So you don't have to be troubled. Don't have to be troubled. Things, life throws some curveballs at you. Well, my son was playing catch with his son yesterday. They were playing and they were using a baseball and throwing it. And my grandson, his catching ability is not the greatest yet. And so he missed one and the ball hit him on the leg. I thought for a minute he's going to die, all right? You know, and boy, sometimes we go through life and we have what really is just little things happen. But we act like, man, it's going to die. It's going to kill me. Not if you got the peace of God. Not if you've got God's peace. It'll help you get through. Oh, yeah, you'll face opposition. There's going to be people out there not going to understand you. They may be sarcastic. They may say things about you. They may talk about you. Yeah, but if you've got the peace of God, you just keep on going. Just keep on going. Don't let it get you down. But wait a minute, can I say there's one more thing? If you know the Prince of Peace, if you know, truly know that Prince of Peace, I want you to turn with me in Colossians chapter 3. I want you to notice what the Bible says we're to do. The Bible says we're to do this thing. And it's one of those things you read in the Bible, and I think we read it, and it sounds good, and we think, oh, that's a wonderful thing, but let's face it, nobody can do that. But yes, you can. Yes, you can. You're there in Colossians chapter 3. Would you look at verse 15? Hey, if you really know the Prince of Peace, then the Bible says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Hey, let me tell you something. If you know, I mean really know the Prince of Peace, that peace of God doesn't just help you on Sunday. And it doesn't just help you inside the walls of this building or any other building that would have the name church associated with it. It doesn't just help you when you're gathered together in a crowd and of folks that are like-minded and we can get together and encourage each other and say good things and pat each other on the back, encourage you, stick with it, stay in there, hang in. No, if you really know him, the Bible says we're to, do you see that word let? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now, y'all understand what let means? That means you're willing to allow it to happen. That means you're willing to allow the peace to take control, to rule, to run the show. You allow that peace to come in. You allow it. You know, my daughter was down. They came down Friday evening, and they were coming. We celebrated my birthday early yesterday. I like long birthday celebrations. So they came down early to do that, and they brought their two dogs. I let them bring them. I let the dogs in my house. Okay? I let that happen. I allow it, okay? And don't think I'll allow your dog, okay? But I allow that to take place. Hey, we let it happen, okay? We let it happen. The Bible says we can let the peace of God rule in our hearts. Let that peace. You see, I believe God gives it to you. He said, I give it to you. He told those disciples, my peace I give you. Oh, preacher, that was just them. No, it's. I believe he gives it today. We have the peace with God when we get born again. But we can also have the peace of God. He'll give it to you. But the question is, are you going to let that peace rule in your heart? To let it indicates you want it to happen. You want it to happen. You want that to take place. You know, just quit fighting it and just let peace take over. Songwriter wrote a song, peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above, sweep over my spirit forever, I say. What? That peace, sweet peace, comes from God. He gives it to us. Hey, if that peace rules, then you know how to keep yourself in line. Because you don't get all wrought up about everything. The way we'd say it today is, you know how to chill. Just don't get all eaten up with everything that happens. You know, we tell somebody else, hey, chill out, man. Well, that's what we need to do sometimes. Let that peace rule there, all right? Don't go flying off the handle. Why? Peace. Peace. Now, you don't have to stop and go. But you ought to let that peace rule. You ought to let that peace rule in your heart. Hey, if that does, you know what? There won't be a lot of fussing and fighting. You're letting the peace rule. Let peace rule. Hey, husbands and wives, let that peace rule in your heart. I don't know about y'all, but I didn't get married so I'd have a sparring partner. I didn't get married for that purpose. I ain't married to have somebody to fight with. Well, I know they're going to do that. Well, wait a minute. They didn't know you were going to do what you do either, all right? Man, we ought to have peace. I'll be honest with you. I think the devil's ruling in too many hearts in our day. I think he rules in too many homes. Well, but you just don't understand. Yeah, I don't understand. I understand this. You don't let the peace of God rule in your heart. Don't let that happen. If you'd let that happen, things would be different. Hey, it'd be easier. Hey, Ephesians 4, verse 32 is one of the most difficult verses in the Bible to obey. Because it says, be ye kind one to another. Oh, we'd rather do different things than that. Oh, flesh rears up, you know. And I'll tell you this, we'd learn to be a little kinder. It'd probably be a lot easier for us to know the Prince of Peace. Just to let his peace rule in us. Let it happen. Let it happen. You allow things to influence you. You allow things to influence you. Years ago, I would say we spend too much time in front of the television set watching commercials, and those commercials influence. Nowadays, people too much time on the stinking telephone and let that stuff on there influence us. Teenagers are doing stupid things because they've seen another teenager do the same stupid thing over the telephone. And they posted a video of it, so hey, if they can do it, everybody in the world ought to want to do that. And I wish it was just teenagers, but it was adults too. Actually, I wish everyone stopped that kind of junk. But we let things influence us. How about letting the peace of God rule? How about, why don't you just decide, I'm going to let his peace rule. Hey, it's easier when you get to know the Prince of Peace. To know him. To know him. Just right there, an intimate, a close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. And to know that, we've got peace with God. If you don't have peace with God this morning, you've never been saved, then this morning we invite you to come and get born again. Trust him as your Savior. Find that you don't have to be at enmity with God. You don't have to be that way. We can have peace with him. Peace with him. Now, you may have a neighbor that you're having trouble with. We used to have neighbors down at our school, and we had some problems with them. And Brother Smart, who mows the grass, he said, we still got trouble with neighbors. You know, but we can decide. You may not be able to have peace with that neighbor. When I was a kid, we lived in Georgia. We had a neighbor. Our house sat right here. The church sat right here. Dad pastored the church. We lived in the church parsonage right next door. And then right here, there was another house. And there was a fellow that lived there with his mother. And as long as he was sober, we had no problems. But he had trouble. He didn't always stay sober. And one night, and I'm not sure exactly how it came about. I think, though, our phone rang, and somebody, it might have been his mom, calling my dad and told him, hey, my son's chopping down your antenna, TV antenna. Sure enough, went outside. Now, he wasn't chopping down the antenna, but there was a guy wire from the antenna that extended over into their yard, had permission, but he's drunk. And he's out there with an axe chopping that line in two. Now, it turned out to be a blessing. We moved the antenna to the other side of the house, got a lot better reception, all right? But it was God's blessing for us. But we had trouble getting along with that guy when he was drunk. Wasn't a lot of peace. Well, let me say this to you. If you're a child of God, you can have peace with God. There doesn't have to be any enmity between you and God, because he'll look at you as his child, and you've got the imputed righteousness of God on you. But then he turns around and says, I'll give you my peace. I'll give you my peace. So you don't have to let your heart be troubled. You don't have to be afraid. I'll give you my peace. And then the challenge is for us to let his peace rule in our heart. I'm going to give it control. I will allow his peace to take over. Can I say this to you? That'll solve a lot of your problems at home. Solve a lot of your problems at home. You might find out you can forgive that one you've not been able to forgive. You might find out you can forgive that thing you thought you could never forgive. If the peace of God rules in your heart. Your heart. And I know you're sitting there thinking, preacher, are you telling me that you never have an argument? No, sometimes I want to rule my heart too. But if I let him rule, sure makes a difference. Takes care of the problem. Hey, you know the Prince of Peace? You really know him? If you do, then peace will rule your heart if you'll let it. Would you stand, please, this morning with every head bowed and every eye closed? Hey, would you just be honest with yourself today? Do you really know that Prince of Peace? First of all, do you have peace with God? Do you have peace with God? You stand there this morning and say, I've got peace with him. There's no enmity between me and God because I've trusted his son. I've trusted that shed blood. Ask God to save me. I've got peace with God.